Welcome to the Becoming Me podcast.
The Becoming Me podcast provides a platform for moms to be authentic and truthful about their choices and experiences and celebrates all our unique stories. I have found that connecting and telling our stories allows us to relate with each other and to draw strength from the different experiences. It also reinforces that we're not alone through the highs and the lows of motherhood. So if you're a mom or a mom-to-be, then you're in the right place. And welcome to the Becoming Me podcast. I have today Jenna, who's going to be sharing with us her motherhood journey. Hi, Jenna.
Good morning.
Good morning. Jenna, before we get started, I've got a little segment that I like to play with my guests, which is called Three Random Questions. And it's just to get to know you a little bit better. If money wasn't an option, what would you do every day?
I think I'd love to be a photographer. Yeah, it's something I always wanted to do even as a child, and I just never pursued it. But I think it would be such an amazing job.
Awesome. And what's your favorite TV show and why?
Ooh, I recently watched Selling Sunset and it's such trashy reality, but I was addicted to it. I loved it so much. So I think Selling Sunset is my recent favorite.
Does it have to do with selling houses?
Yeah, real estate in America. Yeah. And it's just all pretty girls with their fashion and their flash cars. And yeah, it was really funny.
Very nice. And lastly, who do you admire the most and why?
Probably my sister. She is such a wonderful mum. She has kids about the same age as mine and she's got twins. And I think since I've become a mum, I've realized, wow, she's doing an amazing job. So I definitely admire her.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Could you please tell me a little bit about your family?
Sure. So my husband is Andrew and my children are Brody. He's nearly three, and little Luca, she is 3 months.
Beautiful. So today we're just going to have a little bit of a chat about your journey. Could you please let us know a little bit about your pregnancy the first time around?
Sure. Brody's pregnancy was fairly good, I think. It was just the typical sort of symptoms. I had a lot of heartburn and everybody said to me, you're going to have a really hairy baby. Heartburn will give you a really hairy baby. But he come out, he was bald until he was one. So that wasn't true. It was pretty good. We had planned to get pregnant. We were going to start trying in the December, and then the month earlier in November, I thought, oh, what if it takes a long time to conceive? We should start trying now. And we got pregnant first time round. So wow. We were so lucky.
That's beautiful because sometimes it does take a little bit of time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I knew how lucky we were to get pregnant first time.
Beautiful. And was it an easy pregnancy that time around?
I think it was. In hindsight, it was fairly easy. But when you're in the thick of it and you're so tired and exhausted, yeah, I guess you don't appreciate it at the time, but it was a fairly straightforward, yeah, no complications or anything.
Beautiful. And are there any symptoms that you can think of that stood out for you at the time?
Oh, just the heartburn. The heartburn came on really early. It didn't go away the whole time. So that was probably the main thing that I felt the entire pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And just tired. I was so tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So being a first-time mom at the time, what was going through your mind in terms of like, were you feeling ready to be a mom or not?
Oh, absolutely. I was so looking forward to becoming a mom. I probably underestimated how much work it was going to be. Like, I thought I'd just have a cute little baby to cuddle, but wow, it's just not like that, is it?
Not usually. It is that and so much more.
A lot more, yes.
And is there anything in terms of like myths that you found out about pregnancy that you didn't know about?
Definitely the heartburn will give you a hairy baby myth. So many people said that to me. That definitely wasn't true. And I guess a lot of people say, oh, you're going to have a girl or you're going to have a boy, or just everyone's opinions on things that I don't know, you just don't ask for these opinions and you're just bombarded with, yeah.
Do you feel that the opinions of others or the advice was more helpful than not?
No, it generally wasn't very helpful. But I kind of just took it in my stride. I didn't really overthink any of it. So, yeah.
Awesome. And now that you've talked us through your pregnancy, could you please share with us your experience of childbirth?
Yeah, Brody's childbirth was quite good, actually. I had done a lot of research, and I guess that's my nature. I like to be really, you know what I'm going into. So I'd done the hospital antenatal course and we did a hypnobirthing course. I really wanted to hypnobirth. So leading into Brody's childbirth, I thought, oh, I've got this. Like, I know exactly what I'm doing. And then I went into labor. I was 5 days overdue. I went into labor spontaneously, and 2.5 days later we got Brody. So it was a very long weekend. I dilated really slowly, and up at the hospital they gave me the Sintocinin, to try and get me to dilate quicker, and it just really wasn't happening. And I eventually got to 10 centimetres and he just still wasn't coming. He had a big head. So I ended up going in for an unplanned cesarean.
How was that for you, like going in knowing that you're going to have like a vaginal birth and then finding out you're having a C-section?
That was the biggest thing. I really wasn't prepared for that. I'd done so much research on having a natural birth, and I thought I was just prepared for any way that could go. I was prepared for it. But I had learnt nothing about having a C-section. I knew absolutely nothing about it. So in hindsight, I probably should have researched that a little bit more, because I just thought, that won't happen to me. I'm going to have a natural birth. That's what I want. So that's what, yeah, that's what it just doesn't work like that, does it? So yeah, going in, my doctor and the midwives, they all knew that I was trying to hypnobirth. So even once we went in to theatre for the C-section, it was still really calm, and it was actually a really good experience. So I didn't feel disappointed the way my birth went, because it was actually still beautiful, and yeah, it was great in the end.
So I just wanted you to tell us in your own terms what hypnobirthing is for people that might not know what it is.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I'm no expert. I guess it's more about just going into yourself and focusing on your breathing. It's not like you're hypnotized. I think that's what a lot of people think of when they hear the word hypno. It's just about kind of going into the zone and really focusing on your breathing. And, you know, you see in the movies, people in labor are like screaming, and it's kind of the opposite of that.
Okay.
It's really just, I looked like I was asleep in the videos Andrew took of me when I was having contractions. I just looked like I was sitting there in silence, but I was in agony deep down. But yeah, it was just sort of breathing through it, and it was amazing for pain relief. Yeah, absolutely.
I've had a bit of experience as well with hypnobirthing. I've done the course too.
Oh, yeah?
And I know a few people that have experienced the course have gone, really, I'm going to just sit there and smile through childbirth. Did you find that most of the techniques that they teach were useful to you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Some things I didn't really do, like they talked about having the music playlist. I just didn't want any noise. I wanted absolute silence. Even up in the hospital, there were some machines beeping and I just wanted them to be quiet. Also the anchor touch, I think they call it. So Andrew was supposed to like press down on my shoulders to keep me calm, and he tried to do that a few times and I was like, don't touch me, just leave me alone, let me be in the zone. But the breathing was amazing, and I think that's probably helped me even now. I focus on my breathing so much more. Like, it's really taught me how to manage my breath, I think.
If you don't know yet, we have two guests today. We have Luca as well, who's chiming in and agreeing.
Yes,
so,
welcome, yeah. Luca.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, in terms of the hypnobirthing, were the hospital staff really supportive of you of hypnobirthing?
Surprisingly, yes. I expected, well, the midwives were all amazing, which I kind of thought they would be. The obstetrician up at the hospital was a kind of middle-aged guy, and I thought doctors are generally so medicine-focused. I didn't think they would really support the hypnobirthing. But when I mentioned it to the obstetrician, he was so supportive. He said anything you can do to manage your pain is worthwhile. Even if it doesn't actually work and it's kind of got a placebo effect, then that's working, isn't it?
So, definitely.
Yeah. So they were all really supportive. Yeah.
And did you use any other sort of conventional pain relief methods?
Not at the beginning. I got up to 8 centimeters just by myself. I used like the hot shower and sat in the birth pool at the hospital. Once I got to 8 centimeters was when they wanted to give me the Sintocinin. So once they were going to give me that, I knew I would struggle with the pain. So I had a epidural at 8 centimeters as well. And leading up to childbirth, I was like, there's no way I'm having an epidural. Why would anybody do that? I don't want an epidural. It was the best. I loved it. So, yeah, I guess that was a bit of an eye-opener as well, to not be so anti things. That it was amazing just to be able to relax and enjoy it. Yeah, I loved the epidural.
And I think, you know, I find that very interesting that you're able to combine your hypnobirthing as well as use a few conventional methods just to help you through childbirth, because I find that there are some people that are just the one way.
Sure.
It's either they'll just go, I'm hypnobirthing, I don't want anything interfering with that, or I'm going to go conventional, I don't want anything else. But then at the end of the day, you do what works for you.
Absolutely.
And as long as it gets you through, that's perfectly fine.
I don't think I could have got to 8 centimeters if I wasn't doing the hypnobirthing. I think I would have really struggled a lot earlier with that, because, yeah, even though you look like you're not in pain, oh, you totally are. So
definitely. I know for me, in my experience, I used the hypnobirthing. Like, I had the music and I also had the quotes that you can put up, the affirmations.
Yeah.
And that was really helpful for me. So I find that even though you're going for the conventional methods of pain relief, you can still incorporate some of those hypnobirthing techniques as well.
Yeah. I always thought of that one affirmation from the HypnoBubs course was, every surge brings me closer to my baby.
Yes.
I thought about that one so much.
It's so beautiful, isn't it?
So beautiful. Yeah.
It puts you in that mindset, which is great.
It turns it positive, yeah.
Talk us through the last few minutes when Brody was actually born. What's happening then?
Yeah, sure. So we were in theatre and we didn't know if Brody was going to be a boy or a girl. So I was pretty relaxed in theatre. It was kind of all, there was a lot going on around us. We also had a student doctor. Well, I think he was a student doctor. As soon as they started doing my C-section, he fainted. So
that's hilarious.
I thought it was going to be my husband faint, but I'm glad it was somebody else. That kind of got us distracted, and I guess it lightened the mood as well, because it was kind of somebody else was feeling it instead of me. So yeah, we didn't know if he was going to be a boy or a girl, and then they pulled him out and my husband said, it's a boy. And I just remember feeling so happy. I just really, really wanted a boy, actually. I was really happy. They very quickly just wiped him off and gave him straight to me. They didn't really mess around doing measurements and things at that time. So that was good. He was straight onto my chest. And we had a really big cuddle and it was just beautiful. He started feeding while I was still on the operating table. He was already breastfeeding. So that was such a beautiful moment. It was actually really lovely. As far as a C-section could go, I think we got really lucky. Yeah, we had a great team as well. We had a lovely midwife and she made it really special too.
Was there anything that you wished you had known before childbirth that you realized afterwards?
Oh, I definitely wish I'd done more research on having a cesarean and being a bit more prepared for that. I really just didn't think that would happen to me. I don't know why. Yeah, it was a bit naive in hindsight, but Probably that was the main thing that I wish I'd learned about, because I had done so much research. So I did feel really confident going into childbirth. Yeah.
And can you just talk us through the first few sort of days or months when you took Brody home?
Yeah. He cried a lot. He cried a lot. Yeah. I think in comparison to Luca, we realize now maybe he did have colic or maybe there was something, but at the time I thought, gee, he cries a lot, but surely babies that have colic cry more. Like, I just kind of dismissed it. But yeah, in hindsight, yeah, something was definitely bothering him. He cried a lot for the first maybe 6 or 8 weeks, but he was a really beautiful baby too. It's not like he cried all day. So Yeah, he fed really well, and I think he kind of slept normal, I would say. Like, I definitely haven't been blessed with these perfect sleepers from 3 weeks old that you hear about. A lady at the checkout said to me the other day, my baby slept through the night for 12 hours from 3 weeks old. And I thought, well, that's not very helpful, is it?
To be honest, I think that for every person that has a good sleeper, there's like 3 or 4 other people that have bad sleepers.
Definitely.
I think babies go through sleep cycles, and people don't talk about it that much, but they do. They're pretty bad sleepers initially.
Yeah.
So you're not alone.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And just who was your support throughout your parenting stage, like, to start off with? Was it somebody in your family or resources?
We're all a really long way from our family. So I'm really lucky that my dad is in Karratha. So he's really helpful, even if it's just bringing me a coffee, or he comes over and, you know, he would just hold Brody while I could have a shower, or just little things like that are really helpful. Also, a few of our friends had babies at the same time as us. So that was really helpful to just be able to talk about what's good or what you're having trouble with, and just bounce ideas around. And that's been handy for if I ever need to drop Brody somewhere and have a babysitter. I'm confident our friends have babies the same age. He's going to be happy and play with his little friends. And yeah, so we're pretty lucky to have some family here and some really good friends as well, really supportive.
That's beautiful. I think it's good to have some sort of network that you can tap into, especially when you need it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what would you say has been your greatest challenge on your motherhood journey?
Oh, the sleep. I think everyone says the sleep. Yeah, Brody was, I guess he was a normal sort of sleeper for the first 4 months, and then the 4 month sleep regression really got us. So we had 2 months of, I was probably up 10 times a night. Like, it was so hard. I was so tired. And when you're tired, everything becomes, your whole day is hard. So yeah, that was really tough. And I'm a big sleeper too, so I definitely didn't adjust to that very well. So at about 6 months, we started doing some sleep training and just gentle. I think when people hear sleep training, they think cry it out, but it wasn't like that at all. And that's definitely helped us. And I think it's made this time around easier with Luca. I know she will eventually sleep through the night because we got there with Brody, so I'm sure we'll get there again.
Nah, definitely. They do say it gets better, so I think it does. It just takes a while sometimes.
Yeah, you just got to get through it.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. And I just wanted to find out, what has been your greatest joy being a mom?
Oh, I think this age now with Brody, he's nearly 3, and he just has started like running up to me and giving me a cuddle and saying, I love you, just unprompted. And it's so, oh, geez, it's so beautiful. So, yeah, I really love those moments with Brody now. Yeah, it's beautiful. He's like my little friend.
Awesome. Yeah. You talked about like sleep being such a challenge for you, and I can relate to that. I mean, it just feels like a truck just hit you and, you know, it's so hard to recover. So how do you plan for self-care and rest, taking care of your 2 kids?
Luckily, Andrew is a huge help. Brody was always really happy to be with Andrew, just like laying on the couch. Luca is a bit more of a mummy's girl, so that has been a bit harder, but sometimes if both of the kids are asleep at the same time on the weekends, I just go and have lunch by myself at a cafe, or just having time to myself, I think. Yeah.
How do you find that helps you overall?
just being able to switch off. And even at home, if both the kids, it's that miracle, if they're both asleep at the same time, you're still so on. You're waiting for someone to cry, or you've got to quickly do the housework while you've got that little window of no kids. And it's still, yeah, you just still have to be so aware of what's happening. Whereas if I can just leave the house kid free, you can just relax a little bit more. And yeah,
I can sort of relate with that, because I feel like the mommy senses, the tingling mommy senses, are so real. Like, you're just on hyper alert to hear out for anything. You can't even relax until you're out of the house or leave the baby with somebody else.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to find out as well, how do you feel that motherhood has shaped the person that you've become?
Oh, it's definitely made me be a bit more patient. Yeah, I guess we can be a bit selfish before having kids, not in a bad way, just your life is just all about yourself. And then once you have kids, you have to be a little bit more, you just got to share everything, don't you? You got to share your chocolate and share your bed and yeah, you got to share everything. So it's definitely made me a bit more, a bit more patient, I would say.
And I just wanted to find out as well, what do you think motherhood really means in your own words?
Oh, I think motherhood is, you're just number one to those little babies, you know, you're absolutely everything. If the whole world disappeared and your baby still had you, that's all they need. Mm. They're happy. Mm. So, yeah, and that's a big responsibility too.
It is. Do you find that that puts pressure on you to?
I don't really feel that, no. I don't feel too pressured about that. I think because I love it too. You want to be the number one, don't you? So yeah, I don't really let that get to me too much.
Yeah. I think, later on when they're older, we'll definitely, when we're no longer their number ones, we'll miss these days for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Then we have to share them.
Yes, definitely. And when you think about your two kids, Brody and Luca, what do you hope for them for their future?
Oh, I just want them to be happy. I don't really have any big dreams for, you know, what I want them to be or anything like that. I just want them to really have a happy life and always stay close to me too. I don't ever want them to either geographically or I want them to stay close to me and stay loving me. I want to stay their number one forever.
Oh, so beautiful. Would you have any advice to any first-time mums or any mums already out there that you can give them?
Oh, you just have to let go of expectations, I think. Yeah, and lower your standards. People talk about, you know, sleep when the baby sleeps, fold the washing when the baby folds the washing. It's so true. Like, sometimes the washing basket is just going to be full. You've just got to accept it. And yeah, that's, I love a clean house and I've definitely had to just lower the standards a little bit. Yeah,
definitely. I think it goes back to what you said about not putting pressure on yourself and just sort of adjusting to the new life and yeah, going with the flow really.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to add?
I don't think so. No, Luca's just gone quiet. So,
Luca, is there anything you'd like to add to the podcast?
Any more squeals
or coos? Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure just to get to know a little bit about your story.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Becoming Me podcast. I've been your host, Walia. Look out for a new episode every Monday where we talk to another mom regarding their motherhood journey. Please share the podcast, and if you'd like to chat on anything regarding motherhood, please reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.